Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, it is Thursday morning. We are here. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer. We've got Joel. We've got Dennis. We've got Tracy Reiniak today from Zach's Research. We've got Peter Tuckman today, the Einstein of Wall Street. We're going to talk earnings, some earnings. It is kind of like the first day of earnings season here. We got a couple just starting to trickle in. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about space. That's going to be the first thing, I think, is Virgin Galactic. They are doing an offering, a convertible note offering. The stock is down, last I checked, a dollar on the headline. We'll talk about that. We will take questions from the chat, as always. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Everyone in the chat, I see you. I hear you. Oh, I don't hear you. There's nothing to hear, but I see you. I'm reading you as I'm doing this right now. So everyone, go ahead, hit that like button. Get your coffee, get your tea, whatever it is you drink, and then let's roll.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Conan, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
Let's bring on Mr. Joel Conan. He's here. Joel, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, Mr. I. Quiet overnight session. Up 4, 47.20 and a quarter. Really, pre-market high and low, really no relevant levels. Crude, that's down 35 cents at 82.29, working its way towards the high of the move. Gold slipping down 280, 18.24.40. Silver going the opposite way, up a nickel, 23.25. Bitcoin, quiet, $600 range, flat at 43,800. And Ethereum, that's down just about a little bit, $15.33.65.50. Triple D, I'm looking. It's just we're kind of like blah market here after a couple days worth of action, gearing up for earnings season.
SPY is boring. Action everywhere. So there's all kinds of action all over the place. We got Boeing lifting, pun fully intended. The airlines with Delta earnings out. Taiwan Semiconductor kicking some butt and taking names. And then we've got the dogs of these growth names, space. And maybe we should start with outer space, seeing as how I even put the shirt on for
investors. Let's see that. What does it say? Back in my day, we had 9 planets. It's true.
I know. That was the downhill, really, with space investing when they took Pluto away. They need to bring Pluto back. Let's start a rally here. Pluto should be a planet. We went there in 2015. It sure as hell looks like a planet. They just didn't want about a bazillion planets in our solar system. So they literally just said, oh, it's not big enough. But I don't know. Sure looked like a planet in all those pictures. Pluto's a planet.
All right. Dennis is planting his flag in the Pluto's a planet camp.
I think so. I'm fully on Pluto's a planet. And I'm fully on space. SPCE has a date with 10 bucks, it appears. It continues to leak here in the pre-market. What's the news here, Mr. Israel?
That way, just about 20 minutes ago or so, press release came through the wires. They announced a $425 million convertible senior note offering, aka we need to raise some money.
And this is going to continue to happen. I mean, this is the problem. Here's the main problem. Let's just talk about all these pre-revenue startup companies. Especially when they SPAC, like they've got to continue to raise capital to continue to finance their operations until they actually start, one, getting revenue, but two, start making money. So when you're investing in companies that are burning cash, eventually you get hammered with another dilutive offering. And the market was very forgiving in 2020 on offerings because we were going straight up. It's like, oh, the stock will come back tomorrow. So it was very forgiving. Dips were getting bought on all the offerings. That is not the case now. The investors in this stock have absolutely been hammered. And now you're telling me you're going to take away part of my ownership as well. And that's really what dilution is. A lot of people don't understand it, believe it or not. When you're diluting a company, when you're doing an offering, you're losing a portion of your ownership. Despite still owning the same amount of shares, there's going to be more shares outstanding, which means as a percentage of the company, you're going to own a little bit less. And then the next offering comes and you own a little bit less. And in the case of AMC, they did a lot of offerings and a lot of people own a hell of a lot less. And that's why it's tough for these stocks to rally, because even when they rally, then sometimes they come out because they're timing it. The stock goes up a little bit. Okay, let's do the offering now. And it hammers it right back down. So space has a good little 3-4 day lift. And they're like, okay, well, let's do it now. So here we are, 12:37 is a close, does a dilutive convertible offering. Mm-hmm. Stock's trading $10.90. It sure looks like it's got a date for $10 to me. I'm so glad I don't own this one anymore.
$350,000 to go to space for 90 seconds. I mean, if
Joel's hated this one forever.
Yeah, you know, give Joel credit. He was never a fan. He was not a fan.
He never touched this portfolio.
He never liked it.
No, he never did.
So, I mean, does it have a date with 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0? Blast off. I mean, why? Why would you give this company one penny? Why would you invest in this company?
The dream, Joel. The dream. The lottery ticket. This is going to be everybody. You know what I liked the story back in 2020. We know I participated in this one. I actually did really well on this one all the way up. But you know what really turned me off was that day, and we talked about it on the show, when you know they did the launch, the initial launch, where they went up there and the CNBC was broadcasting and everybody was broadcasting it. And it was over 90 seconds. And I did not realize that they were just going to blast you up, just get you to the fringe of outer space, let you float around for 90 seconds and get back in your seats. If they orbited you for an hour and a half or something, you're up there, you're doing, you know, you're enjoying yourself. I mean, 90 seconds, you couldn't even get, you know, your bearings of what's going on. It's not long enough. So you're right. $350,000 for 90 seconds, a waste of money. If it was an hour and a half, I might do it because it'd be cool, although I'd be scared to go in the spaceship. But I would love to see up there. But for 90 seconds, it's just simply not long enough either. So I agree with you, Joel. And I'm not touching the stock.
I mean, not even time for the stewardesses to come by.
Joel. We've been talking about this.
The stewardess is going to come by.
One thing that I wanted to state is that, I mean, Maxar, the satellite play. Remember when we first started coming up in the space plays?
Yeah.
That's when we first started coming up. I said, look for things that actually make money. Don't look
for
things that
make money, though?
Yes, of course they do.
Yeah. Or the satellite. And you can look at VORB as like, just in line with the Maxar thing, because it's the same idea. It's a satellite company, right? So launching satellites, and Vorb, I think, is launching several satellites today. You know, launching satellites is way different than launching people. And probably a better business.
What's the PE on Maxar?
Let me look for you.
Again, it's the easiest. This is the market right now. You got to ask yourself that question. Continue to keep asking it. Don't just dive in anything.
It's high. So it's high, but the price of sales is manageable.
I don't care about price of sales. I want to know what the PE is, because I'm not paying 10 times, 20 times, 30 times. I'm caring. What is the PE? Did it make money?
Money. Yes.
So last quarter, it doesn't look like it did.
They make money inconsistently. Okay, like I'm here. Let's pull up the earnings calendar in Benzinga Pro. They have been profitable some quarters, but other quarters not.
Can you show us the calendar? Because this is a good line. We you know, obviously the show is free. You know, we love you know if you subscribe to Pro, because it does help Benzinga itself. But you know, this just shows you the usefulness of the Pro, which is an awesome tool.
So
here we go.
This is every earnings report.
How do we get that? Teach us. So okay. We go into what?
This is the Menzinger Pro homepage, right?
Yeah.
You just go to calendar.
Yeah.
You type in your ticker. In this case, it's MAXR.
Yeah.
Okay. You may have to fiddle with your dates a little bit, right? You can just go back. I'll go back a few years and bada bing, bada boom. I make sure we're sorted by chronological, where the most recent quarter is the top row here.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'll do. And you can just take, we're looking at this column, EPS, and we're looking at this column, revenue. And I want to see the revenue growing, and I want to see the EPS being not.
I don't see any revenue growth there. I see it all pretty much the same.
But you also want to see EPS growing.
It's all over the place too.
Yeah. Like I said, it's all so anyway. So the PE on this
CFA hat says no, thank you. Sorry, right. Matt. Sorry, Mitch.
PE is a little high. Okay, and actually, it's a lot high.
But, yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, okay. 185.
It's a lot high.
Just a little.
But anyway, the point still stands, right?
They'll grow into it.
Satellites
grow into it. That's what everybody. Famous last words.
It'll grow into it. Yeah. Satellites better than people.
I'd rather own. Okay, so we'll do the CNBC. Would you rather? I would rather Maxar than Space. I'll hand that one.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll give them that. But I'd rather neither of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. Here's a question from Jacob. What does CFA stand for? Dennis, you are a CFA.
I'm a CFA charter holder. Not supposed to use it as a noun.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. They're very strict.
They are.
Not supposed to say you're a CFA. It's a CFA charter holder.
Yeah.
And they're all. What do you mean? You walk around holding a piece of paper? Is that what it means? You walk around.
Well, you know what? It hasn't been of much use in the trading for the last number of years because we've been in this growth storied market. But now that we went into this value oriented market, the CFA hat's all of a sudden starting to pay bills. So maybe you got to go trade in your technical analysis. What's the technical analysis one?
CMA?
No. The one Mitch is doing.
CTA.
Chartered technical.
CMT.
CMT. Chartered market technician.
I knew that.
Or Money Mitch, you could say.
Yeah. Or Money Mitch.
CMT.
I never did my CMT, but I had my CFA back in I've had it for a long time, 2000, 2001, 2002. I've been very involved with CFA Institute for a number of years, served on their Capital Markets Policy Council, helped with even some of the curriculum preparation in level 3. So I've actually been very involved with CFA Institute for a long time. Great. I can't say enough good stuff about the CFA Institute. So, obviously,
if you're
a day trader, it's probably not needed, but I think it helps me with analyzing a lot of different things.
We used to have some of those guys on, some of your colleagues on. McPartland, is he still around? Did we have him on?
Yeah, from
and Greg. We used to have Ezra Rappaport on. Wasn't he part of CFA
Ezra's market structure? Market structure.
We
haven't had a lot of CFAs. We should get some more CFAs.
Okay. You say CFA charter rules. I'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. Let's move on here. Let's move away from space and let's go into earnings.
Yes.
We have a couple. Actually, we got three notable reports overnight here. You want to start with KB Home, since that seems to be the biggest mover of the bunch.
That is.
This morning. I'll be honest. I kind of forgot that they reported until this morning. They were after the close yesterday. Anyway, KBH said that their earnings per share for last quarter came in at $1.91. That was above the $1.76 estimate. So a pretty nice beat on their earnings per share. Their sales came in just a smidgen on the light side. $1.68 versus $1.71 billion. They guided for the year housing revenues in the low to mid $7 billion range. And you're seeing a couple analysts come in this morning and play catch up with their price targets and maintain their buy ratings. So KB Holmes, strong morning.
What's the PE?
It's like single digits.
That's a new question. Do you want to own it or don't you want to own it? What's the PE?
It's for the forward PE is 5. The trailing PE is 8.
5.
That's ridiculous.
But anyways, okay. So one warning to you is they do the earnings in the home builders can be cyclical, and this has been a fabulous home building environment for the home builders. So I do think inflation eventually, is going to turn off people from building homes. Just like I would never do another home in an inflationary environment. So I think It is. I've been saying this for a while. I do think this environment is about as good as it gets for the home builders. But, you know, you look at a multiple perspective, they're just dirt cheap. I mean, I'm not chasing anything up 10%, but there's a reason that when value stocks are reporting, they continue to, you know, hold on or the dips get bought. This is a value-oriented market now. It's been that way, not for 3 days, not for 3 weeks. It's been that way for 10 months. We have been in a value, and say that, you know, like you can look clearly, you know, Berkshire Hathaway, BRK.B versus Cathie Wood, and you can clearly see in February 2021, which is almost a year ago now, we turned. And this has been a value-oriented market for 11 months. Maybe a lot of people haven't noticed it. There's been the odd individual hot story. But what has happened overall is you've seen multiple contraction in all these ridiculously high-value names. And on the really cheap stuff, there's been a little bit of multiple expansion. So, you know, that's probably going to continue. I wouldn't say, you know, we've seen in the past, in 2018, 2019, value gets hot for a couple of weeks. Value hasn't been hot for a couple of weeks. It's been hot for 11 months. I think it continues.
Go ahead, Joel.
No, go ahead. Do your comment.
Someone asked, like, what's a good PE? And I would just say, just with regards to KB Homes, right? So we said KB Homes has a PE of 5, right? So what does that really mean? It means it's cheap compared to the overall market, but you have to look at how companies compare to, like, the rest of their industry, right? Because as Dennis said, earnings in the home builders are cyclical. And actually, the home builders as an industry just have a lower PE in general. So, like, that's why I want to bring this up here, and I want to put my mouse right here. And you can see, like, KB Homes has a PE of 5, so it's pretty low. But look at the industry average. It's only 9.
Yeah.
Right. So it's cheap.
It's not going to 20.
It's cheap, but it's, like, not as cheap as you would think, because the S&P 500 has a PE right now of, like, 25, somewhere around there. So it's cheap, but the whole industry is cheap. So think about that. Like, just because something has a low PE does not make it a good buy necessarily. These things can be cheap for a reason. Just remember that. But
and because those earnings might come back down. So maybe this is peak earnings and maybe you're going to see it come back down, you know, and then obviously it doesn't look like it has a PE. I remember I was fooled with Micron on that. You know, we know the Micron, but at one point in time, the stock was like trading at $60, the PE was like 4. And then the earnings came back in and now it fell to $40 and the PE went up to like 15 or 20. So you got to watch when the earnings are cyclical like that. But I think just, you know, just for a basic fundamental lesson, you know, when you say the stock has a PE of 5, it means if it continues to make earnings at this rate, we will get paid back the entire amount of the stock's worth in 5 years. So that's what it's saying. When you're paying a PE of 100, if the company continues to make earnings at this rate, it takes 100 years of earnings to get back the amount of money you just put in. So basically, your payback period is 100 years. Where in the case of KB Homes, if they continue to make it, your payback period is like 5 years. So that's what you've got to look at, you know, just basic. That's very basic. I didn't put time value of money, anything like that in there. Just saying if they're making it here, if they're making $2 a share and you're paying $10 a share for the stock, they continue to do it for 5 years, you got your $10 back. Not saying, oh, you get $2 in the first year. There'll be somebody else say, so you can reinvest that, you know, and then there's, so it's, you know, you can't look at, I'm just looking basic, right? Simplistic explanation for newer traders out there.
These are
simply the earnings
here
divided by the price.
A very unusual.
Price divided by the earnings. Sorry,
this is holding. This is up 4 sticks. This I've seen these home builders trade, and yeah, you had a little dip off the headline number. Boy, keep an eye on your pre-market high, and if that's not good enough for you, look for 47.58. That was your June high. That would be up over 5 sticks. So I'll look at that, but. Two things: keep an eye on that high at 929 and 59 seconds. 170,000 shares have traded. I don't know how much traded last night, but boy, oh boy! I mean, this closes up here, or even gets up to 47.5. That would be a really nice day. I'm not chasing a home builder
up 10% because I've had the rug pulled out on me way too many times. No. Just because it's a low PE doesn't mean it can't come down the stock.
Right.
So again, I'm buying dips, selling rips, not buying rips. That's a fundamental first things first. I'm interested in value stocks, but I'm not interested in paying up 10% over the previous day. Great question. And I think this is going to be a little bit of an educational morning here. But Ramon asking, you know, why does a stock like CRSR continue to, you know, get hit in the growth massacre when its P is down to 13? Now, I don't follow CRSR very closely, so I don't know. I think we should go and look and see if the earnings are cyclical here as well. So let's go to our Benzinga Pro, Spencer. Let's bring up the earnings for Corsair Gaming and see what is it. Is it trending higher? Is it trending lower? Because what's going to happen here, folks, is you're going to eventually get to a point, to Ramon's point, where the high growth names, some of them have fallen so much that they start to fall into value area. And that's when you want to strike. Now, I'm not sure if CRSR is cyclical, which is why we're going to do the exercise right now and just see what's the last, you know, few years of earnings look like from CRSR. Can we bring them up?
Yeah, I'll do that. And before I do that, I want to note a couple other things on this page. One, short, it's got a small float, but less than 29 million share float. That can mean some funky things can happen. It's got a pretty high
short interest
of 28%. That's not nothing. All right, so it's a stock that people are betting against. Okay, so you mentioned the low PE of 12. Okay, so let's look at the earnings. Let's go to the earnings tab here. And where's my calendar? Earnings. Okay, so here we go. Corsair earnings. What do we got? They've only been public for they've been public for less than.
That's the problem. We only got five quarters, so we don't have a history here. So it's hard to tell too.
So, but what can we see here? It's hard because the pandemic messed with the numbers.
Yeah, this is really hard to analyze. I was hoping to see like 5 years, and we're only going to see five quarters.
Yeah, no, it's hard here. I mean, but just here, just high level, super high level, super basic. Look at the revenue. Revenue Q3 of 2020, 457. Revenue last quarter, 391. Okay, and that's year over year stuff right there. That's comparing the third quarter of 2020 to the third quarter of 2021. Yeah. Okay, so theoretically, if the business is cyclical throughout the calendar year, then you want to compare year over year more than quarter over quarter. And year over year, that's not what you want to see.
Revenue is not growing here.
It's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
you know,
and reason for that is probably this is a gaming play.
Exactly.
And
you there
had
you go.
2020. Which was the gaming year. So people were stuck in their homes, lockdowns, you know, sitting, buying their Corsair headsets or whatever the hell else they sell. But this is, you know, right into their wheelhouse. So was 2020 as good as it gets?
Yes.
That's another reason too. So now you can say, okay, well, yeah, the PE looks like it's 13, but if it's not growing or potentially, you know, even shrinking, that's a major issue. So one, I would just say I don't have enough fundamental information here to really put on your CFA hat and really analyze it with only five quarters of data. And two is I'm worried that last year was the year for gaming stocks, and we know that they've come off. At a certain point in time, Corsair Gaming is going to be a buy. I don't think this is a company that's not burning cash. It's probably, you know, a value trade at a certain point in time. Is that trade now? It's hard to say. So I would just say I'm going to take a pass because I don't have enough information.
Yeah. This sector, I mean, you guys have been pounding the table on these stocks, and you know, it just they're in just a massive downtrend. And you know, look at Penn, look at DraftKings. Did you see where GAN's at, Dennis? Single digits.
No.
I mean, this is just
terrible.
it's just for now, you know, buy Charles Schwab. Buy Interactive Brokers. I mean, people are putting their money into the market. The sports wagering, I mean, I don't know. Are these stocks ever going to come back?
There's going to be bounces. Sports gambling is going to continue to grow. The problem is the pie is this big, and they were valuing it like the pie was this big. And there just wasn't simply enough pie to go around. And now you're seeing the contraction in the multiples of all these companies because everybody's realized, oh, crap, we were paying way too much for these companies. So DraftKings is probably your leader here still, probably going to be around for a long, long time. But was it worth the valuation that people were paying back in 2021? Obviously not, because it's revaluing. You have multiple contraction happening in the growth stocks. That likely continues because the investors have been burned. It's hard for stocks to just come back all of a sudden because there's so much overhead supply. And that takes you back into the technicals. We're kind of tying in the fundamentals with the technicals here this morning. But DraftKings is still trading with a $21 billion market cap. And they're burning cash. So it's hard to just say, okay, this is the bottom. This is going to be the turnaround story, because the mentality of this market has changed from, I don't want earnings 5 years from now. I want earnings today. Everything is going up in price today. Inflationary environment is killing these companies because those future dollars are worth so much less in an inflationary environment. You know, and if we're clocking at 7% on the CPI, and we know there's stuff that they don't calculate, you know, real inflation is probably running. We've had Gil Morales saying it was running 10, 12, 15. So, I mean, in certain areas, we've saw inflation as high as 30, 40, 50%. You know, so gasoline, you know, up, what, 45% last year? That hits people right in the bottom line. Housing, that hits people as well. So I think we just got to, you know, keep in mind that the mentality of the typical investor here has changed, and they now all of a sudden care about fundamentals. They don't just care about a sexy story.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That's it. That's it. And so it's day 26 here. We're going to have Tracy Roniak from Zacks Investment Research on in about 9 minutes or so. Let's cover the rest of the earnings here. And real fast, Elon asked if we can show you how to
calculate. Elon Musk in the chat?
No, it's E space L space. Maybe it is. I have no idea.
Hi, Elon.
Calculating price PE is very simple. Typically, it's just you divide, it's price divided by whatever whatever the full year earnings per share is. That would get you what is called like the trailing PE. And if you want to get like the forward PE, which is forward looking, you just go off the company's own guidance. But you don't even have to calculate that. There are platforms like Benzinga Pro or others that
just give it to you.
Do it for you. They do it for you. So it's not very hard.
Basic math.
Right.
Stock price divided by the yearly earnings.
Yearly earnings per share is the thing. Okay, yep. So Delta Airlines had the earnings this morning. We're going to call that the official start of earnings season. They're the new Alcoa. They're typically the first to report. They said their earnings per share last quarter, they made 22 cents per share. They made money. That's
good
something.
News.
Versus a 13% estimate. Sales also came in a little bit higher, $9.47 versus a $9.14 billion estimate. So they beat on the top line. They beat on the bottom line. They gave some guidance that was all good when you compare it year over year. It all sounds really good when you compare it year over year, right? Obviously. So Q1 sales guidance, they guided, you know, up 75% year over year. Capacity up 83 to 85% compared to the same period 2 years ago. This is what they're guiding for the current quarter. Anyway, I haven't looked at the stock yet, so how's it doing?
Did you hear that interview that they had? They had the CEO for 15 minutes. And the only thing they tried to do was try to get him to say something nasty about the unions and some comment that some lady made. That's all they did. That's all they talked about for 15 minutes. I don't, you know, and then a commercial for Aflac. Can I ask you guys a question? So that Dion commercial with Nick Saban, I know this is really off topic, but it's bothering me.
Whatever.
At the end of the commercial, nickname. He says something to Dion, and it's like something money. And it doesn't sound like it's Dion. It doesn't sound like Sanders. Do you know what I'm talking about?
If someone
knows what he's saying, I looked at somebody.
Don't watch.
Really bothering me. I've been preaching one level, and I'm going to stick with this level. It's got to get through $42, and until it gets through 42, it's going to turn and go lower. It tried to pop on the number and also had a drop, but let's get this thing to 42 and then you got another leg up. I don't know about business travel. I don't know about,
Joel, you're a genius.
Look at that.
You're a genius, Joel. 131,000 shares offered a 42 in the New York book. That just shows you. People who don't subscribe to the book miss so much information. Like, it topped out on January the 7th at $41.97. You think it's a coincidence that there's 131,000 shares to go at 42? What's the math on that? Let's get our trusty calculator out. We'll go 131,000 shares times $42 a share. Means it takes $5.5 million worth of buying power to take out that order. That's a $5.5 million seller there. That is what you call a whale. So
whale alert.
It may take it out, but you're exactly right. You grab that from the technicals, and I can grab it from the order book. And what we always say is the order book gets ahead of the technicals because, you know, people say, oh, yeah, there's some resistance up here forming a 42. Well, there's a freaking order there. So, you know, it's not common sense or it's not rocket science to, like, you know, just come out and say, okay, well, takes that much buying power. Now it's up to 140.
Oh, PPI, Dennis. Careful. Oh, cancel offers.
Joel, what the heck's going on?
Cancel offers.
Tell me this.
Oh,
orders. Cancel orders.
Dennis
and Chip.
Dennis,
oh, wait, it's coming
bing,
back
bing,
in.
Bing, 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 bing,
PPI.
Sorry, Dennis.
Hey, breaking news. Prices are higher. Okay, we're done. That's it. Prices went higher.
Abandon ship.
That's it. Dobbs claims for the week of the January 7th went up compared to the prior week. PPI. Oh, wow. PPI. Same. Okay. So it's the same as CPI. Prices went down compared to November. They went down from November to December. Cool. All right. PPI came in a little bit below the estimate.
Scared me there for a second. I thought they were going to start lifting, but the sellers are.
They didn't really. No, people are afraid to trade stocks off these. These numbers. They're like, well, we'll wait. Nathan made a new pre-market high, 47.28, 39.50. That's your high from yesterday. That's a big level. That's what we got to take out. And now 47.28, but 39.50. They kind of floated it up there yesterday.
And then the other earnings report.
Just back to the Delta, just to finish the thought.
Yes.
So again, you know, NYOB, $60 a month. I always look at my trading as a business. You can't be afraid to spend money to make money because there is so many traders. And I'm going to say just a random number, but I bet you it's 9 out of 10 traders that want to sit at home and not spend any money at all and expect to make money. And I think in the long run, crazy. I don't know how you do that. I buy information. If it's a publicly available information, I'm going to pay for it. So I pay for all my order books. I pay for all of my news services. I pay for everything that I can get to get more information, to be a more informed trader. Because if the guy on the other side of your trade knows more than you do, you're probably going to lose to him more often than not. There's going to be a luck factor involved on any trade, but there's also a knowledge factor. I'm not talking inside information. I'm talking publicly available information. You got to know everything that everybody else knows out there because then you're at least on a level playing field because there's insiders out there that know more than you, and that puts you on an unlevel playing field. It's why insider trading is so bad for all of us. But if there's publicly available information like an order sitting out there for 141,000 shares of 42, I need to know that.
It's Coach Prime, what he says. Thanks, Alan Moore. Now I don't have to worry. Not listen anymore.
These are the real problems.
Also, we're up. Also, think about this today. Let's say this thing catches a bid. It's already up 73 cents, right? I don't even know what the average daily range is in this thing, but it's probably not. Looking over the last few sessions, it's probably not even – 60 cents or 70 cents. So it would need to be up $1.50 at that time to take that out. Now, in the way this works over the next couple of days, let's say it catches a bit off this and it gets up to 4180, and then it closes at 4160, and then it opens at 4170, and it catches a bit. Then it would fit within the average daily range where it could take that out. You know, you get some Momo traders, some momentum traders that are looking for a breakout. But where's Tracy? Oh, we got 2 minutes before Tracy. Yeah, how are the other airlines?
Yeah, well, I haven't even looked, honestly, at the other airlines.
Look at UAL. That's looking – look at that. Ooh, a quad top there. Keep an eye on that, folks, too.
Where are we looking? You want me to look at a buck?
UAL, NASDAQ. Yeah, it's too wild. Yeah. It's too
like
wild.
You get NASDAQ total view, but you don't see those nice juicy orders on NASDAQ usually. 48 bucks, so you're right.
Let's just look at TSM, Taiwan Semi. They had earnings that were out this morning as well. Earnings per share beat. Sales also came in above estimates. Q1 sales guidance also came in actually about $1 billion above estimates. They're $1 to $2 billion above the sales guidance estimate for TSM. So it should be trading higher. What's the PE? Well, okay. So
It's fairly low.
It's low, but this has also been an underperformer compared to AMD and NVIDIA. But the PE, the forward PE is 28, which is lower.
But it's actually been growing. This company has just been a monster for a long time. So you're paying up a little bit, but it's not like nosebleed valuations. I actually love this company. I'd be a buyer of pullbacks. I mean, you're right here. You're right at an all-time high, so it's hard.
You are above it. Oh, close.
142. Close. 142 back in February 2021. So you've come all the way back to the where you had some memory there. So that's the only thing I don't like. You wouldn't want to have an ugly double top there. But, the consolidated base here we formed between 110 and 120 in the valuation is not extreme. I kind of, like it.
I don't know, but
I don't buy rips.
Someone tweeted it about me this a while ago, and it was obviously before you had the January candle, and it was the same thing you said, Dennis. It was like it wouldn't go down like the 110 just below that area, and then the highs were not as spiky, or not as but it was more of the 128. So even when this thing went through 120, that was like the ultimate top of the range. But yeah, all-time high, that was made in February at 142.20. I like to see some follow-through through the pre-market high. Current pre-market high is 139.30.
All right, let's bring on our first guest of the day, Tracy Roniak. She is a senior equity strategist at Zacks Investment Research. Joining us now on Pre-Market Prep. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are we doing? How's your year going? Off to
it's
a good.
It's going good. I see Joel's got the Michigan shirt on there. I thought about wearing it, but I have this dark background, and I would have just blended in.
Not a bad year, huh, Tracy? Not a bad. We'll take it. I just put this to rest too. Jim Harbaugh is not going anywhere. My sources are telling me he ain't going anywhere. So. Tracy, it's been a while.
It's been, and
we're glad to have you back. And, we get analysts on the show to talk about different stocks and different sectors and stuff. And boy, oh boy, we've seen, do you just want to comment on like the value versus growth and talk about what your specialty is?
Yeah, this is a good year for me. Those of us who are value stock investors, we're not really caring what's happening much with the growth stocks. And so everything we're in is hitting new highs, not going the other way. So we're seeing all this doom and gloom out there, but we're like, where's that? We don't have it. And it's across the board in numerous different industries right now.
And so how do you decide when to take profits on these kind of things or you don't? You just kind of move your stop up? I mean, I know that's always important. Do you have targets, hard targets, try and stick with them? How do you handle that?
I do have some targets, but it depends on what industry they're in. So if it's in retail, for instance, I think you better have targets in that because it's much more volatile. But in the two industries that are breaking out and will break out all year, I don't see why you should have any kind of targets at all. And so that would be energy, of course, everybody's talking about it, and the banks.
Tracy, tell us, like, when you do your analysis, what you look for. We've been doing some very surface level stuff where we just like we're having fun looking at, you know, forward PE and stuff like that. But like, what do you look for?
Well, I look at the forward PEs for sure.
Okay.
But a lot of times, price to sales. I look at the
see price. Dennis. She appreciates price to sales.
I appreciate it as well.
Like you,
but I'm not looking at, okay, well, the price to sale. I want to see first the company making money in this environment. Right. I'm not buying companies that are bleeding cash, even if you're looking at a price to sales. Okay, they got revenue, but if they're bleeding cash, this is not the environment that's, you know, really doing, those companies aren't doing well if they're bleeding cash.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. So price to sales.
Correct. Yeah. But I would argue that if someone has a price to sales under one, so I'm getting those sales cheaper than what they're, you know, selling them for, that they're going to have, you know, earnings, they're gonna be making money.
Okay, so price to sales below one is interesting to you. What else besides like ratios do you look at?
It all depends. Right now, I mean, again, we've been looking at energy for a long time. Both energy and the banks have been in a long-term bear market for 13 years. So there's been stops and starts. I know in my own value investor portfolio at Zacks, we've owned energy off and on over many years. We bought it in the bust of, you know, 2015, 2016 bust, thinking, oh, that was the end, that was the low. And then that was a fake out. Then we had the lows in 2020 look to be like legitimate lows. And so I look for areas where everybody hates it. So everybody still hates energy. Most retail investors aren't in it. They hate it still. So that's very bullish. Also the banks, let's be frank, they're pretty boring. They've been boring for 13 years. Who wants to trade those things? Nobody. You know, maybe some big banks, you know, some people have been in the JP Morgans, Bank of Americas, but if you go even to some of the regionals or the community banks, forget that. Nobody's been in a community bank, but those are areas that value investors like. It's, you know, there's going to be something good finally happening there. I also still like the home builders. KB Home reported last night. I see they're up about 9% in the pre-market. And everybody keeps thinking, oh, home buying is over now. You know, the surge is done, but it's not. They have the cost inflationary issues like everybody. So it was interesting to listen to KB Home's conference call last night because they're still trying to get garage doors. Everybody's talking about the garage doors right now. And interestingly, they've cut back on what you can put in the house to try to make sure they can get it. So they used to have 400 appliances available in their plans from Whirlpool. They've cut it back to 150 to try to make sure, hey, we can get those 150 appliances, but not all 400, because it'll just delay, you know, bringing the house to the owner if yeah, whatever one they picked is not available. So the home builder side is interesting. Those stocks haven't really gone anywhere and they're trading in single digit PE. Some of them are at like six times.
So Tracy, like, you've obviously been willing to wait this, I guess it's not a trade, it's an investment. You've been willing to wait it out for a while,
yes,
right?
Because a long time.
Right, a long time. And there have been brief moments, brief periods, like a week here, 2 weeks there, right? Where like we correct, rotate into value and it's like, oh, is this it? Everyone, wait, right, hey, hold on. And then it always goes back to the way it was for the last decade, which is growth goes higher, value goes lower. Correct. So now for the first time in a while, you have price, you have the trend on your side. Does that change anything for you here? I mean, especially because we have the bank earnings starting tomorrow, you know, does the fact that you're actually like you're in an uptrend and does that change like how you look at the sector, you know, bank energy at all?
No.
No. Okay.
But investors who are going to look at it for the first time might be surprised at where the stocks are. So Exxon, for instance, is trading at 2-year highs now. And they may look at that chart and be like, oh, it's already had its big run.
Yeah.
And over the last 13 years during the bear market, it would have, you know, this would be a fake out run. Right. But I think we've entered into another bull. So it's not going to be the fake out. And you can actually buy on these highs. And also with the banks. Bank like PNC, that's hitting new highs going into its earnings, I think, early next week. And that's been a popular one for several years for a lot of investors, a big regional bank. And, you know, it looks like, oh, the breakout is happening. I don't want to be in this now. But you do, because those earnings are rising, and those earnings are going to rise a lot as the Fed raises this year.
Yeah. And Tracy, gotta give you props. You're not someone that decided a month ago to buy the banks and buy oil. You've been coming on for a while and telling us that. So you're having your day. So congratulations there. Is there anything else though, like outside of those two, outside of the banks, outside of energy, is there anything else that you like or especially don't like right now? Either way.
Well, I have a watch list on the growth stocks too. I always tell people, you know, even if you're a value investor, you can still own growth. You can still own, you know, the Fang Man or the Fangs, and have like more diverse portfolio. There's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, but I'm watching some of these higher growth names. I bought some of them after the downturn in 2020 because I did consider them to be cheap, even though they were growthy names. But I've sold them now, and I'm sitting on the sidelines waiting for them to go cheaper. So, you know, we know some of the names. You know, I used to own Pinterest. I have gotten out of it, but if that goes cheaper, I might be interested again. So yeah, I'm still looking for value even on those growth names.
People are asking a lot about a Zoom, and we've saw Zoom, which was a crazy multiple. Obviously it was trading $500 a share, but the stock price has come down so far and the earnings have gone up so much that it's now trading with a PE of I think 36 or 37 with still some growth there. What are your thoughts on a stock like Zoom?
Yeah, I'm staying away from some of those pandemic plays still. Okay. I'm not sure they've gotten cheap enough. Same with Peloton. You know, that's way down in the dumps too. But I just like fundamentals right now, where we can see how good it's going to be based on even with the Fed raising this year. And we should have the stronger economy once we come out of this Omicron, you know, slight downturn that we are experiencing right now, but it should bounce back pretty quickly off of this.
You mentioned retail there, and you said, hey, you like to have your targets in retail. Can you just talk about a few retail stocks and something that, you know, may be up near a value area for you?
Well, I know a lot of people have been talking about Crocs, but it is still cheap here. So I do like it. It's trading around 12 times.
I can't get away from this stock. I'm sorry.
I know. There's some people who hate the shoes and all of that, but they are selling a lot of the shoes. Actually, I like all of the shoe retailers right here. I also still like Skechers. That's still cheap. Deckers, that makes Uggs. That's pulled back a bit off of its highs too, because it is a growthy name as well. But I'm still kind of waiting for Deckers. I wish it would go lower here. And then there is the wonderful Boot Barn, and they've been crushing it every quarter, Boot Barn. And but they're not quite cheap enough for me yet either. So I'm waiting for some of these to come down a bit. But Crocs is still cheap. They're expected to grow earnings 30% this year. That's a very nice earnings growth given you know, what they have been doing, and growing revenue 20% again this year. So you can hate on the shoes, but they are doing something.
People need some new treads, man. They're getting out of the house and they're going places. So they're out there buying some shoes.
Well, yeah. And historically, coming out of recessions or like times of struggle, shoes have done really well on the recovery, because it's like an item that's a little lower cost that you can buy and kind of upgrade your look. You can get like in the trends just by buying a new pair of shoes. So shoes do well on recoveries.
The stock and the company continue to bewilder me.
It's got to be. Let's give Crocs some props here, though. That's got to be one of the best stocks out of the pandemic. That thing hit $8 in March of 2020. And we should have just all been thinking like, well, if we're all going to stay in our homes forever, we're going to buy these shoes with the holes in them so we can just lounge around outside in our yard.
Right.
So we should have realized right away that Crocs was a pure pandemic play, and it killed it. But then it's an everything play, because these things, like, they had the ones with race cars on them for the kids. I saw the CEO yesterday on CNBC. I mean, Crocs just been an unbelievable stock for a long time. Just because the shoes got holes in them doesn't mean the stock can't go higher.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions for Tracy in the chat. People want your thoughts on crypto. They want your thoughts on
crypto. No, I knew that. I saw that.
Okay, they want your thoughts.
Do you own any Bitcoin, Tracy? And we got to ask her.
I do not own any Bitcoin, even though the Bitcoin guys keep insisting that I will be buying some at any moment now.
They also want your thoughts on utilities quickly. If you do you have thoughts on
utilities, I don't even look at utilities. I'm the value investor and I don't care. So I can't go there. Not when there's all this other stuff that's so good right now. The banks and energy and retail are all really good and still cheap.
What about like a Macy's? Because it trades with a low PE here as well. Obviously, we've turned around here to a certain extent in retail.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like even Macy's and Kohl's?
I like Macy's. I like it more than Kohl's. They've really upped their online game. I know a lot of people that ordered from Macy's because their online was so efficient this year. So they've really made a lot of changes. They've closed a lot of underperforming stores. That has helped them. And don't forget, they also own Bloomingdale's. So the luxury side has done well and is still continuing to do well. So, and it is a cheap stock. So I do like it. The earnings are expected to decline a bit coming up forward here this year because the analysts don't really know, is this big surge in the buying of the apparel and everything going to end or will this continue? So they're a little more cautious on the earnings, but it's not expected to decline very much. So yeah, I like it on the cheap side. Yeah, I like it.
I saw a really great chart of retail spending, and it right, and they noted when the child tax credit, when the stimulus checks hit, and when the child tax credits hit, and then right after that, you just see a spike in retail spending. Yeah. All right, Tracy Reiniak, it is always a pleasure. She is a senior equity strategist at Zacks Investment.
Before you let her go, Spencer. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Tracy. Okay. You didn't have to wear a Michigan shirt. Okay.
Right.
But you wore a red shirt.
Oh my gosh.
It's don't wear red. And if those are gray stripes, then I'm going to have to give you a call a little bit later.
They're pink.
Okay. Stripes. I don't wear red shirts. I don't wear scarlet and gray. Okay. So the next time you come on the show, I don't care what you wear. Green is also banned. But find something. For sure. A little bit better. Awesome. No, Tracy, great information. You're fantastic. It's been way too long, and we're going to get you back on a lot more often.
We're in the value market now. We need people like
Tracy's
Tracy.
Back. We need all Tracy.
All right.
Go blue.
PEs are cool.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, hey, Tracy. Just real fast in the chat, we did a poll. Do you own a pair of Crocs? 3/4 of you said you don't. I'm in the 1/4 that I'm in the minority. I do own a pair of Crocs slippers that I've had for
I own the knockoff Crocs. Does that count?
No, it does not count.
Like the flea market version. My parents always went to flea markets and they buy like a pile of those things. I think I got like the $5 pair of Crocs.
I've had the
I couldn't pay the $25 for the Crocs. I got the $5 version.
I've had the Lusters.
I like Tavis.
I've had
Tavis sandals.
The dollar store Crocs. I own the dollar store Crocs.
All right. Let's do some ticker time. If you have a question for us in the chat, drop it in. Drop your ticker in there. We will take a look. Let me see. Was there anything we missed as they're doing that as far as news flow for the day? I don't think so.
What did we miss?
We have the banks tomorrow. Yeah. That's important.
We had a pile of ratings here. I mean, the ratings have been, and again, January has got to be the biggest month for ratings because, especially in the first couple of weeks, of every analyst coming out, let's get our 2022 picks out there. Let's get them out there. So every single day, it seems like we got like a 20 downgrades, 20 upgrades. Look at that Benzinga Pro right now. There's just a pile of them in there. You know, and some of these are notable companies here too. I mean, Mattel's getting an upgrade, ENPH, which obviously is a widely followed stock, catching an upgrade here today as well. Halliburton getting an upgrade. On the downgrade side, we got some analysts chasing on Biogen. Snap's probably a big one here today. I mean, maybe we should go and look at Snap because that's a big call out of Cowen here today. They're downgrading Snap and they are lowering the price target and the stock's trading down 3% of pre-market.
Oh, thank you. After a 2-for-1 stock split, they're
now they're downgrading it. I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Low of the move, 38.51.
Yeah, I just pulled that
has
up.
To hold that.
There you go.
I mean, here's where, you know, are we in this environment here where growth's going to eventually turn around just on a dime? It might. I mean, again, you can try some of these stocks at lows, but I'd like to more pick on like a Tracy approach where some of these stocks that have maybe been beat up enough that they're approaching value area, maybe you're leaning on those lows as opposed to jumping in the ones that are still trading with nosebleed valuations, like, or you can't even value them, like space.
All right, what about Boeing here? There was a headline this morning. Yeah, China says they're going to resume, or Boeing said they're going to resume service in China on their 737 MAX plane. I think that also got kind of mentioned in the chat here. So Boeing was trading higher, at least last I checked.
225. Value stock,
it is a value stock. It is a value stock, even though you're going to see the negative earnings, but eventually they're going to turn it around, start making money again. I mean, this is a good exercise even to use the pro here too, Spencer. I mean, we're using the pro a lot here today, and maybe we should just bring up the last, like, bring up the last, I don't know, 3 years of earnings from Boeing, because you'll see them obviously fall off a cliff from the pandemic. But before, and they had the problems with the MAX too, so you might have to go 4 or 5 years back. But it's a good exercise into, you know, obviously cyclical earnings here as well, where you're going to see these earnings all over the place. But Boeing was making a ton of money back in 2017, 2018. And then obviously it's burning cash as of late, but eventually it will turn it around again. So, you know, airplanes are not going away. They've obviously got a lot of other business aerospace as well. But I mean, they've been hammered here over the course of 2020, 2021, because the earnings went negative and they're burning cash. But eventually here, they could get back to a point where they're starting to make money again, and Boeing could be a sneaky value trade at that point in time. Are we at that point in time is the question, though.
Nice spike. Two levels to keep an eye on. Your pre-market high came in just over 225, 225.18. Boom, that lines up with the daily high, 25.33. That's your first target. You want to get there, take that out. And then maybe you got some work to – I don't see anything after that until the pair of highs just around 231. So knee follow through the pre-market high. I'm still – I'll buy Boeing when they come out with, like, some smaller planes. I think these – I keep saying this. I keep saying this. I just think the future of air travel is just not going to be these big old jumbo airliners, man. It's going to be smaller planes.
There's more tickers. We'll get to those in a second. But real fast, Dennis, I saw your Twitter yesterday. So you sold your JD?
Yes, I did.
He did. He couldn't.
I never get a trade this perfect. So I had to actually tweet about it. I never tweet. You know, I don't know if I've ever tweeted like a full like trade, like from entry point to exit point. But I was like, I never have got one this perfect before, so I almost have to do it. If you can show the chart from my Twitter.
Got it.
My tweet.
Oh, wait, yeah, I got
if
it.
You want to show it up there. But I literally bought like the low of the day on the 6th, and I obviously sold the open. I sold almost near the high of the day yesterday, and then I had all the meat in the middle too. So I never get, I got 20, what was it, 23% in 5 days
wow.
on that.
Wow.
Yeah, I wish I would have been all in on it, but obviously
but
I always
Dennis sold. Dennis bought there. And sold
it. And we talked about it on the pre-market show.
Yeah.
So I let you guys front run me basically because I said on the pre-market show that morning on the 6th, I like JD here, I like Baidu, and I like Baba. I like those three stocks. And I said I might even get down and dirty and buy one or two of them. And then that morning I went out and I bought JD and Baidu. On the pullback, you can see I always wait for the dip because I kind of liked it. It was ripping that morning. I bought the little dip on the pullback, which is what I do. And then we had 3, 4, 5 days. And then yesterday on the pre-market show, I said, I think I'm getting to a point where I actually probably am going to sell this JD, even though I put in the long-term account. When you get 22, 23% in 5 days, you take the money and run. And China, obviously, just, you know, lucky. It's all, like, a lot of it's just luck. I mean, there's no way, you know, this is all just skill set. This is luck. So it's just, you know, it's fun to just look at that though and say, oh, I sold there and I got all the meat, because I'm so notorious for just getting like taking the first bite, seeing the turn, and then getting out way too soon.
Yeah.
So when I get all that meat, you know, I felt pretty good about myself. And the stock's down $1.85 today. So it's like I sold it 4 points higher than here now. It's like maybe I should just become a full-time JD trader. Maybe I should just trade JD. Maybe it's my stock.
No.
But anyways, we are, Juan, we are in the market to take the money and run.
It's not
because this is not the market that the stock going up 23% goes up 50, 60, 100, 200, 500, 1,000%. We're not in Kansas anymore. It's a chop fest. It's going to be a choppy year. It's going to be the market where when you get up 10, 15% in something, you're taking the money and you obviously got to watch your stops. You might have to widen them a little bit because there's so much chop out there. You don't want to take, you know, obviously you don't want to be having 20, 30, 40, 50% losers either. So you still have to use some risk management techniques, but wider stops might be what you have to do in this really choppy environment. But here we are. I mean, you know, there's still some good trades to be had. There's still some big moves, short side, long side, play the chop.
Look, you can actually see we have people in the office today. This is actually going to be an exciting day in the office. You know who's coming in the office today very randomly?
Who?
Al Harrington.
He won't know who he is.
No, he won't. Al Harrington played in the NBA for like 15 years.
Oh, nice.
He's got his own cannabis brand, and he played for my Knicks for a hot second, and he's coming on. He'll be in office. He'll be in studio for Benzinga Live very randomly. We're having just an exciting day here. It's not often we actually have guests in person.
Nice.
Can't forget the Nuggets days. Nuggets.
Yeah, he was on the Nuggets. He was on the Pacers. He was on the Warriors, I think. So, it's not often we get in-person guests, so that'll be fun. It's 8:58. We got a couple minutes left. I like looking for tickers that we, like, don't talk about a lot.
Sure.
Someone dropped in Domino's, which we, like, don't look at. I hardly look at the stock.
And so, Albert Michigan Company.
Quantum dropped VPZ in the chat.
What's the P?
It's always
always high.
For whatever reason, Domino's, Shake Shack, and then what's the third
because
one?
Because it's a technology
Domino's,
company.
Yeah,
Rick's Kramer,
Rick Dotto.
Oh, it's
Domino's,
a technology
Shake Shack,
company.
And Chipotle. Are
because they have a website.
Anyway, the forward PE.
We're a technology company.
The forward PE on Domino's.
I'm a technology company. I have a website.
PE on Domino's is 31. It's actually come down, but yeah, it's whatever.
37. It's been just an unbelievable company. This has got to be, out of all the restaurants and all the food stocks, all the fast service companies, this has got to be one of the best run companies that's out there. Mm-hmm. $100 in 2016, $200 in 2017, $300 in 2018, $400 in 2020, $500 in 2021. The trend is still your friend. Buying pullbacks on this has always worked. I don't know. The problem is the PE is a little bit escalated. So, you know, it's not in favor. It's why it's getting hammered with the growth stocks. At a certain point in time, the value will be there, though. I don't know if that point times 400, it may eventually have a date with that. But if you're buying pullbacks on Domino's Pizza and you're holding the long-term account, you seem to always be happy, so I won't argue with you.
First big red monthly candle you're working on. So
it's
scary.
A little bit nosebleed up here.
Yeah. You know, for a trade here, you know, if you stuck your nose out at the 480 area, actually 480.33, You can lean on that, below that, even if it was, you know, cracking on a intraday basis. I think you got some more downside in this one. So it's had a nice pullback. If it can, you know, it's up four sticks here. I mean, if you could put, you know, not, you don't want to see it blast off right away, you know, up to 510, 520. But if it could just hang out here and put a couple lows in, a couple inside days and move up. But yeah, you're throwing it out 480 below that. More downside for Domino's. Ann Arbor, Michigan Company. Also, they have Domino Farms out there. They have all kinds of exotic animals. So,
Domino Farms?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Never heard of that before.
They got a Domino's
Pizza. Yes, you have.
Pizza amusement
park with farms?
No, I haven't.
What I haven't heard.
Spencer, bring it
Where
up.
Where is Domino Farms? Where is this?
It's probably in Ann Arbor.
Oh, my gosh.
Spencer, so you go to Ann Arbor,
bring it
you
up?
Can go through
they
the
have
Domino's
bison.
Pizza.
They have... You can see it right on the freeway.
You can actually
Spencer?
See the pigs okay. that they're going to chop up and put okay. on the pizza.
Okay. Spencer, bring it up for me, please.
Bring it up in what?
Domino's Farm. This is Wilbur. He will be part of your.
It's huge, Dennis. They got a huge campus. They got all these
part
exotic.
Part of the ham that's going on.
They got
pizza.
Llamas. You drive by on the freeway. It must be a couple hundred acres. Come on. You guys, people are going to think I'm crazy here.
No. I looked it up. It's real.
Show it on the screen so people don't think I'm crazy.
What, show the website?
I'm Googling it right now at Domino's Farms. I'm making a road trip with the kids there
what?
As soon as
yeah,
this
Dennis,
pandemic ends.
This
is I like Canadians
Look,
back into the
it's
U.S.
It's real.
Because we all have COVID.
It's real.
Wait, that's all you're just showing the office space.
What
are
you
doing? It's a huge campus.
Where's the,
show
where's
the campus,
the park,
Spencer.
Where's the petting zoo?
Yeah, show the petting zoo.
I'm going
show
to
Google, the petting
I'm going to
zoo.
Google Maps. Domino Farms.
Here. It's huge.
Domino's Farms Petting Zoo. Google that.
Look, it's all of that. It's
all thing. That, Dennis.
You
the
can
lobby,
pet the animals before they go on your pizza.
Here. Yeah, okay.
Google right. Images. Google Images. That. Is that. Are you happy now? Is that what you're talking about? That whole thing?
That doesn't look
yes.
like a petting zoo.
No, Spencer's.
Oh, no, look, the petting farm in the bottom corner. The petting farm. That's where we want to go. Bottom
yeah, well,
left.
Oh,
the petting
thing?
Farm. Click that. The
See?
Petting farm. There it is. Joel's right again. You can go and can pet the animals before you eat them.
I don't know.
Yes,
that's an awesome
they put
thing.
Them
like
you
I
chop
want
them
this
up.
One.
You want bacon
really
on
nice.
Your pizza?
Okay, go put them on my pizza.
You want bacon on the pizza?
I got to go, guys. I didn't realize we were running over here.
The Domino's Pizza Petting
Zoo. I'll talk to you at 10.
It's a petting zoo. And
it's a petting zoo. Go pet the pepperoni. The pepperoni petting zoo.
Petting
Disney
zoo.
Animals. We treat them really well until we chop their heads off.
This is what you do. You go to the zoo, you pet the pig, you place your order, you go, you pet the pig.
And then you get to pet the pig, and then you get to eat the pig. That's a great business model. All right, I got to go. I'm going to get some tweets at me on this one. Hey, Animal Lover's not loving me today. Okay.
I don't even know.
Goodbye.
Right. So Peter Talkman is supposed to be joining us today. I do not know where he is right now, but real fast, I did want to just bring to your attention. We mentioned the ratings, and I like showing them in the pro because there are a lot of ratings here today. So let me just show you real quickly. The ones that jump out to me, actually, it was a downgrade. It was Snapchat. That jumps out to me today. Snapchat downgraded from Cowen and Company, only to neutral. But if you look at the stock, you know, I'll pull up the chart so we can look at the stock together. It is trading down 3% this morning off of this downgrade. So, oh wow, let's get all those other stocks off the screen there. Nvidia, okay. Snapchat, 15-minute, yeah, that's the downgrade right there. So Snapchat trading lower off that downgrade. What else jumped out to me? Dominion Energy, ticker D, caught a downgrade to sell at Goldman. That's always notable. Downgrades to sell and upgrades to buy are more interesting than neutrals. I don't know. That's kind of it, I think, on the ratings front. Halliburton upgraded JP Morgan to overweight. Mattel. The smaller firm, though, MKM Partners. Hawaiian is interesting. Chegg, an upgrade. Chegg has been a dog. CHGG. How's that doing? Looked at that one for a hot minute. All right. Well, thanks for the upgrade. I guess they're calling it. They're pushing their chips into the table on Chegg. Who's that, Piper? All right. Good call. Or good job, I guess. We'll see how that works out. All right. Peter Talkman is supposed to be joining us. I do not know where he is. So real quick, before I wrap up, here's what I want to preview the day here. I mentioned Al Harrington. That'll be later on in the day. We have Benzinga Live coming up next. Not Benzinga Live. Live trading. That's what I meant. Live trading with Benzinga coming up next. Mitch, Ryan Zunade, and special guest today, Nick Shaheen. We'll be hanging out with them for a while, like an hour or more. Hanging out, talking options trades, talking setups. Definitely tune in for that. That'll be right after this show. After that, we'll have Benzinga Live. We'll have Al Harrington on the show. He gets buckets. We're going to have the CEO of E2 Open. They had earnings out also last night. Michael Farlekas. That'll be at 12:45 today, Eastern Time, during Benzinga Live. It's a Thursday, which means we've got the roadmap coming up at 2 o'clock. I'll be back for at the close at 3:30 with Joel, and then Cannabis Hour at 4 o'clock today. That is the programming schedule. And I guess I'll just wrap it up here because I don't know where Peter Talkman is. So I apologize, everyone. But he is not showing up today. And that means we should just go over to our next show. So here's what I want to do. Check up on the likes. How are we doing? We're at 420 likes. Nice. 420. Well, let's get to 500, though. Let's get to 500 likes on the day. I would appreciate that. My bosses would appreciate that. Thanks to our guest today, Tracy Reiniak from Zacks Investment Research. Thanks to all of you in our chat. I know we never get to all the questions. I apologize. Maybe one day we'll just do a show where all we do is answer questions. Like, that's it. We go into the show with no plan, and we rely on you to answer, to talk about it, for what to talk about. Maybe we do that. George says we should give Triple D his own show called You're Doing It Wrong. Maybe. Dennis could probably have his own show. He doesn't need us. He could talk all hour by himself. He doesn't need Joel or I here at all. He could just do the whole thing solo. Just talk to himself for an hour. That's what he does all day anyway. Anyway, that'll be a wrap here. Please remember, all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. Peter's usually in his car. Right now, I don't know where he is. I'll have to make sure, check to see if he's okay. Again, Benzinga Pro, it's the platform that we bring up all the time on this show and in other shows, pro.benzinga.com. This is it. Free 2-week trial for everyone. Offer code YouTube20 to get 20% off your Benzinga Pro subscription. But again, pro.benzinga.com. Check that out. All right. I'm going to hop here. We're going to start live trading coming up next. Everyone have a great rest of your morning. Good luck at the open. Let's all make some money. And I'll catch you guys later.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.